right, are you ready this morning? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. We were here last week, and I may even repeat a few things I've talked about lately, but we're going to take a little deeper today. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, at harvest time. At God saying, if things are troubling you now, how are you going to be able to handle it when things get in extreme transition, in extreme chaos? And I had that word during praise and worship today, that the Lord said that frustration is a result of looking at temporal circumstances, and that's because you're not abiding in the eternal zone. That if you'll learn to abide in Christ, temporal situations won't bother you like they normally do. And you can walk with a peace and not experience frustration and anxiety. And so, we're in a time of transition that it's letting us develop patience, letting us develop the ability to keep our joy amidst contrary circumstances. With small things. Because if we can't handle small things, how will we handle the big? And we had that word during the Glory Conference this year that Nicole brought forth, that it's a time to war for your joy. And I believe that. And I've had to. I don't know about you, but I've had to war for my joy and determine I will be joyful. I will have peace. Because the enemy is right now trying to frustrate us. And we're gonna look at that this morning, really what's going on. And I had the Lord show me something last week that I don't think I'd seen to this level before. But go to Isaiah chapter 60. And before we read this, I want to mention something else. Welcome to 2019. Everybody excited about 2019? If you're like me, you're probably stuck about halfway in 2018, wondering what happened to the other half of the year. But last year, we spent a lot of time watching prophecies about 2018, bringing forth prophetic word about what was going to take place in the year 2018, and it was all very exciting stuff. And this year, I've yet to listen to a single prophecy about 2019. I've seen different people posting them, people I respect, but I've not felt led to read any of them or listen to any of them. I'm sure that I will, but I'm not, how can I say, feeling led to do that right now. And I believe the reason is just what is down inside of me is I believe 2019 is going to be a continuation of what was prophesied in 2018. I'm still waiting for 2018 to come into higher levels of manifestation. And so I'm still in that vein, if you follow me on that. Now, I believe 2018 was a good year. It was a good year for this church. The changes that have been taking place, the additions that have come in, I believe was a good year for us. In fact, we came into 2019, maybe the first time ever, one of the few times, with a little bit of a surplus in the bank account. Now, it's gone now because I had to pay taxes. But the good news is the money was there to pay taxes. You follow me? And all the bills are paid. It's 2019 or 2018 was a good year for us. Now, a lot of people had a rough time in 2018. A lot of churches did. It's just different places in transition. But it was a good year for us, and I believe 2019 is going to be a better year. But if I had to describe what I noticed a shift that took place in 2018 was, and I've talked about it, as it used to be years ago, we would get together and pray, and we'd pray in the Spirit and, you know, tarry. And you might pray for hours and not have any of the presence of God move in. You might get a word, you might have a revelation, but I'm talking about a deep presence of God, His tangible presence. And in 2018... for me, and I believe for this church, and really for the body of Christ, there was a quantum shift took place in that area. That now all I've got to do is say, Jesus, I love you. or Jesus, hi. And it's almost like, whoosh, the presence of God comes in. That what used to take hours of seeking God is now taking place in seconds. Not even minutes, seconds. That right now, all I've got to do is think about God. You've heard about what was the book, Practicing the Presence of God? Well, right now, I think we could write one called Being Aware of the Presence of God, because as soon as you're aware of His reality, His presence moves in. If you're inviting it, you can follow me. And 2018 was a year for me, especially the fourth quarter. Something happened in the fourth quarter of 2018 where now when I'm driving down the road, and I can have my mind on what I need to do when I get to church or what happened at the house or maybe something else on the radio or whatever, or politics, you know, who wants to kill the president now and casting that frustration over that. But I'll say, Jesus, I thank you that you're my God. And boom, there's the presence of God. As soon as I give him attention, as soon as I turn my focus toward him, he moves in. And the fourth quarter of this year has been an intense experience of that for me. Now, you may say, well, I haven't experienced that. Well, the good news is if it's happening with leadership, it's a short time before it happens to the body. There's always going to be forerunners in different experiences. Are you following me? I'm not saying I'm a forerunner, but I'm experiencing something that you're going to be a partaker of if you stay the course. And I believe 2019, what I'm discerning, is 2019 is going to become an amplification and an intensification of that. A year of the manifest presence of God. Now I'm still waiting for all the Kent Christmas prophecies to come to pass. You follow me? People are going to drop dead, you know, attacking the United States or whatever, or the church. But right now, I believe God's focus is visiting His people, is teaching them to abide in Him like we had the other prophecy come forth this morning. I believe God's moving in on us like never before. Amen? Because the glory is coming. In fact, we've already been told to say the glory is here, right? The glory is here, but it's increasing in manifestation level. And so Isaiah chapter 60, are you there? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now this is prophesying about a time to come, right? I believe it's prophesying about today. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Now this is interesting that darkness is on the earth, but gross darkness is on the people. Apparently, how can I put this? I have some big magnets in my garage. I take them out of speakers because I can tie a string to a big magnet, like come out of these, some of the big speakers, and I can drag it through my yard. It'll pick up all the nails. If I drop a screw in the garage, I just take the big magnet, wave it around, and it'll find the screw. And of course, I do a lot of cutting, grinding, a lot of grinding in my garage, grinding metal. And it's amazing, I can have all these metal shavings, you know, that have been thrown all over the garage, but it turns out a whole bunch of them will be on these magnets. The magnets suck the metal filings out of the air to some level if they're in the vicinity. And those magnets will be covered with little metal filings because they draw them. Now, there was metal filings all in the air, but the magnets became a central point of concentrated metal filings. And it says darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. I believe there are people that are magnets for darkness right now and become sources of gross darkness. Amen. I'm sure you heard last week what was said about the president by a new elected official, right? How ridiculous to use such language against the elected head of this country. Amen. In an official capacity. Gross darkness. Silliness. Concentrated evil, right? So as this gross darkness will cover the people, he says, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. God said, when the gross darkness is on the earth, or the gross darkness on the people, God's glory shall arise upon thee. And I believe it's interesting to me that the time of gross darkness on people is also a time of the glory on people. And I mentioned it before, but I believe the earth is moving into deeper and deeper levels of darkness. Amen. Now, there's always been darkness here. But it's coming to a place, it's covering many of the people of God. It's becoming concentrated, some of the ridiculous stuff that's going on. And gross darkness has, I believe, been released. But God's glory is going to overcome it. Now, I may have mentioned this last week. I'm sure I did Thursday. But I made some notes. Let me write these down. First, let me get my markers out. All right, in here somewhere. I made some notes of darkness versus light and gross darkness versus glory. What I want to speak about this morning is when you've got darkness versus light, talking about spiritual darkness versus spiritual light, there's some difference between the two. You follow me? There's a difference. But when you've got gross darkness versus glory, there's an extreme difference. So I want to relate some aspects of darkness to begin with. When you dwell in darkness, in other words, in time past, if you weren't abiding in Christ, and you were just experiencing the atmosphere of the world, here are many of the symptoms you would experience. You would experience irritability. And let's do caps. Anybody remember ever feeling irritable? You just keep looking straight ahead. Might be forgetfulness. Anxiety. I'm talking about symptoms of being, how can I say, experiencing the emotional transformation power of darkness. What it will do. Spiritual blindness. You read the word, you can't understand it, doesn't make any sense to you. Somebody tells you about Jesus, you just can't even comprehend it. Drunkenness. And drug tendencies. And racial distrust. Those are symptoms of being in darkness. Do you follow me? Now, when you are born again, you have a right to dwell in the light. And I'm telling you, when you get born again, there will be a noticeable difference in how you act if you genuinely give your life to Jesus. And there'll be a difference in what you see and what you're able to experience. And some of the aspects of light, let me grab a different color here. I need two blackboards or I'm going to run out of room. Once you get born again, We'll go over here to light. I'd make it orange, but you probably couldn't see it. Will be revelation. All of a sudden, you understand the Word of God. You can read it, and God will speak to you out of it. Gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. Let me write that down. Prophecies. Dreams and visions. Even a peace that you'll have because you're now born again and you're in the light. And as a Christian, we have a right to live in this zone. But if you're like I am, or especially been in the past, I would be in and out of walking in the presence of God, walking in and out of how can I say, manifest peace of God. And I might have one day, I'm revelating, gifts may be manifesting to some level. May have a prophetic awareness. I may go to church and the minister just preached on what I studied in the Word and there was a prophetic connection. Could be I'm having dreams or visions. I've had dreams and dreams, especially since the day I was saved almost. But a supernatural peace. You'll have a peace. But say you don't get your time in the Word. Say you don't get your time in prayer. You know, the day stretched you to so many demands. That we called it your fuel tank got low. Remember your fuel tank getting low? It's talking about that. And all of a sudden now, you're easily frustratable. You're irritable. All of a sudden now, you may be battling some anxiety. You open the Bible, it doesn't make sense to you like you think it should have made sense. Or maybe you're now being drawn back to some of the things of the world. Doesn't it be drugs and alcohol? It could be the refrigerator. It could be the credit card. Could be to throw a meltdown fit, you follow me? And wouldn't just be racial distrust, could be distrust of everybody. Don't like anybody, you follow me? You just wish everybody to go off and die and leave you alone. And that's the difference between living in darkness versus dwelling in light. And you could go from one to the other day by day and think, well, I just had a bad day. But you get back and you follow me? And there'd be a difference, but it wouldn't be like you really noticed a dramatic change in your life. One day you just felt good, one day you didn't feel so good. One day you just, you know, felt like you wanted to hug people, next day you felt like you wanted to punch them. But you didn't notice a dramatic shift. Are you following me? From one day to the next. Or one week to the next. That's darkness versus light. And the thing that made the difference between which one you experienced is what you took time to get yourself filled with. Can anybody identify with that? And we would know when we started getting punchy or, you know, sad or melancholy or whatever it might be, frustrated, that we would know, hey, I need to get with God and get filled back up. So there was a place, based on how you sought God, whether you were in darkness or light. And you could take time and range between the two. And I will assure you, if you are born again, and have been born again more than about 2 hours, you've been on that range of experiences somewhere. So you can smile all you want. We know you had some days you weren't as full of God as you probably needed to be. And neither have I been. Do you follow me? But in this process, you learn how to overcome some of the things of darkness. You survive some of the attacks, the covenant attacks, maybe some of the symptoms on your body. You learn how to use your faith to access joy versus anger, whatever it might be. And you learn how to dwell more over here than you do here. Do you follow me? To put it in modern terms, to be able to speak to people today, maybe the younger people, it would be this versus this. Because now you got to have to speak in emoticons, right? Emojis. And so, we have been learning how to dwell in the realm of light. Do you see that? Now, I don't know if you need to take a picture of that, whether you wrote it down or not. It'd be good if you could look at what I'm about to erase this. It'd be good if you could remember what we just wrote, right? So, let me see if I can do as good a job as Aaron did. And now we're going to talk about gross darkness. Because gross darkness has some more severe manifestations connected to it than just darkness. When gross darkness is in the world, instead of irritability, there will be rage. Have you seen any of that? There will be covenant. Assaults. Tempted to leave all of your covenant relationships, you know, don't want to stay in the church, want to quit your job, everything. I mean, just want to quit. There will be spiritual. Remember before we said spiritual blindness with darkness? Now there is spiritual deception. Now this has always been around on some, the magnets. But now that it's in the earth, it's attaching to multitudes, if I can put it that way. Demonic possession. And oppression. Demonic oppression. People dominated by the devil. It would stand up in Congress and say, things have been said lately. Plagues. Child porn. And what's the term they're using now? Did I write it down? I'm not even going to write that one down. But the sex trade. In me, do you know how many leaders in America, talking about our government leaders, have been actually connected to sex trade? Numbers of them, including an ex-president. Yeah, and his wife. And genocide. You know what genocide is, right? Genocide and hate. Before it might have been just racial distrust. Now it's want to destroy, kill off someone else. Do you follow me? And there are people now, you know, talking about you need a civil war. Stupid. That's results of gross darkness. Now in the glory, in the glory we have poured out presence. And what I'm getting at is we as a nation, even the world, have transitioned from darkness to gross darkness. and are transitioning from light to glory. You follow me? And the shift from when we used to go from light to darkness was gradual and not so apparent. You were just having a bad day. Now it's a radical shift. But the same thing still holds true. If you don't keep your tank filled, you can make that shift. Poured out presence. I just want to call it liquid love. Like you're immersed in love. Automatic faith. It's easy to believe in, for the promises and blessings of God when you're in the glory. It's virtually automatic. Oppression. Driven out. I mean driven off of your life. Health. Prosperity. Trances and visitations. And there is a radical difference between a dream and a vision and a trance and a visitation. Do you follow me? I mean, in a trance, the person's often caught up to heaven. In a visitation, heaven comes to earth. In a dream or a vision, you virtually have an image of something God wants to do, or even a parable of what God wants to do. So these are radically at higher levels than their predecessors of darkness and light. Do you follow me? But the capability of being able to shift from one to the other still remains. Let me show you what I mean by this. Have you got this down? I'll just erase this section. A while ago, we drew the chart. I'll draw it up here. Of dwelling in darkness or dwelling in light. Right? And notice the slope of that arc is gradual. You don't notice a whole lot of shift one to the other. Just one day you're kind of frustrated, the next day, hey, I'm fine. But when gross darkness is in the earth and it's contrasted by the glory, now our curve looks like this. Over here is light with extreme manifestations of God's goodness. And over here is darkness with extreme levels of demonic manifestation. And your capacity to dwell in one or the other is the same. As I've been mentioning, now all I've got to... See, when the curve looked like this, when I was over here living, learning to move into the presence of God, in other words, well, the natural state of man is darkness. You've got to take steps to move into, take the first step to move into the light. And I might pray for hours to get over here. Warring tongues, and have a manifestation of the presence of God and go like, God's in the house. But now, if I'm here, all I got to do is think, Jesus, be blessed in my life. Whoosh, I'm down here. That means a good place, you follow me? In the glory, in the manifest, tangible presence, rapidly. But in the same fashion. Now notice, we could chart this. Same place and time or whatever, but a much deeper level of being in His presence. But in the same fashion, if I as a believer don't get time in the Word, don't get time in prayer, I'm, how can I say, negligent of church and negligent of seeking God. All of a sudden, let me move this dot over there just so it makes a better example. Now, I'm here. And instead of just having a cloud of darkness over my life, there's rage wanting to come on me. There's extreme anger and hate and oppression and fear and intolerance and feeling like you want to die. Not that I've been there. I'm just telling you as an example. And so what I'm getting at is you can't afford to not connect to God now like you used to be able to take a day off or a week off. Take a church vacation, where I'm not going to seek God. Not that I'm going to church, but where I'm oblivious to God and doing my own thing. You can't afford that now, because the ramifications are much larger. And what can happen, and I believe I'm about to speak to some people here, because I've experienced it to some level in 2018, is all of a sudden, you'll find yourself fighting battles you thought you had victory over long ago. You'll be experiencing attacks you thought you had victory over in the past. I went for 27 years without getting the flu. The last time I'd had the flu was January of 1991. But in January, New Year's Day, 2018, I got hit with the flu again. And I'm thinking, where did this come from? Well, I had just spent all through the holidays entertaining family. My mother had been staying with me. I just drove her a long trip to Kansas, and I'm not getting my time. And all of a sudden, I'm open to attack. There's something I had victory over. That I'd gotten busy before and got hit with a flu like that. But I believe under the cloud of gross darkness, the attacks can become much stronger. There are covenant attacks regarding my calling, my relationship with the ministry, and although that's never been in question, even my marriage that got attacked in 2018, that I thought, where did this come from? I mean, why am I getting attacked like this here? And this explains it. Just like it's easy for me now to move into the manifest tangible presence of God, if I don't stay filled, I can drift back into a lower place on that hill where now there's all these attacks coming in. Not that you succumb to them. Do you follow me? I'm still here. I'm still married. I'm still in the ministry. But you're fighting a mental attack you thought you'd never have to fight again. And now you're casting down something from 20 years before because of the concentrated darkness trying to penetrate because it's been released into the earth. Is anybody following this morning? And so you may find in 2018, you went through some major attacks that you thought were behind you. Could be financial. Could be physical. Could be mental or covenant. Could be with your peace. And it's not that you didn't love God, not that you didn't go to church, but maybe your tank got low, and before when your tank got low, you just kind of grumpy. But now you want to kill somebody. Now you want to leave a relationship. Now you follow me. Gross darkness. And we can't afford to let that have an entryway into our life. Amen. We're on a much higher curve. Turn to John chapter 15. No, I don't think I want to go. Let me see where I want to go. Let me give you another example of this. I think I brought this out Thursday. At home, I have a shower. Well, let me restate that. I have a jacuzzi and I have a hot tub. When they built our house, they had a jacuzzi. You know what I mean by jacuzzi, right? It's indoors. It's in the bathroom. And I can get in a jacuzzi. I can turn the temperature on the water up, you know, and until it gets cold. But blow bubbles and relax in the jacuzzi. And when I get out of the jacuzzi, I'm in the bathroom. I dry off. And maybe a little cool while I'm drying off until I get dressed. But no big deal, because the bathroom is almost as warm as a jacuzzi. But I have a hot tub. Remember, we put the hot tub in last year. And somebody gave me a hot tub I rebuilt. And if it's 10 degrees outside, and I go get in the hot tub, while I'm in the hot tub, it feels great. I keep it settled on 100 degrees. Unless Patty's getting in, then it goes to about 96. If it's just me, I'll go to 104. That's the max. And I'll sit in the hot tub and just be as comfortable as can be, relaxing, praying in the Holy Ghost. But if I get out of the hot tub and I run in the house, I'm good. If I have a robe there, we even have a towel heater. Put the robe in the towel heater, the towel, whatever. Put your robe on, run through the snow. You're fine, because your skin will retain heat for a few minutes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But if I decide, hey, I need to service the hot tub while I'm out here, you know, I need to add some chemicals, and I need to, you know, or I get distracted, and I realize it doesn't take long. You realize it's 10 degrees out here, because of the dramatic difference in outside versus hot tub temperature. There's a major shift that takes place. I liken that to darkness versus light, jacuzzi versus bathroom, versus gross darkness and glory, the hot tub versus 10 degrees. And that's what we've stepped into in these end times. Years ago, we asked God for revival. And I believe it was Pastor Sherry was asking God about revival. And the Lord said, I love you too much to bring it to you now. It would destroy you. We couldn't understand that. You know, we talked about it and what the ramifications would be. But I know now, unless you learn to dwell in the presence of God, gross darkness will eat your lunch. And God's calling us to not play games with this thing. You could play games here. You follow me? You can't play games here. And God's calling His church to immerse Himself in the glory, get out of the world and connections to it, to keep from being drugged down on that negative side of the hill. And I want you to see the ramifications of it. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who had some battles in 2018 you thought you were over. But if we did, I would bet it'd be over half the people in here would raise their hands. And if nothing else, the battles were mental. Wanting to quit. Feeling like nobody liked you. Feeling like, why bother? In fact, there would probably be a hopelessness connected to it. If I had to understand, it's one thing to be attacked, it's another thing to give way to it. A lady came to Kenneth Hagin one time, Kenneth Hagin Sr., said, Dr. Hagin, I want you to lay hands on me that the devil will quit attacking my mind. He said, lady, if I could do that, I'd lay hands on myself. He said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can't keep them from making a nest in your hair. Do you follow me? They're going to attack. It's what you do with the attacks. And if I had to describe an attack in 2018 I experienced that I thought I would never know again, was hopelessness. Why bother trying? Why put out the effort? Nothing's working. Yeah, especially if you watch much of the political operations. You watch too much news and you'll feel hopeless. I mean, I love Sean Hannity, but I can only listen to so much, because he lists everything wrong over and over again, and there's never a resolution. It's just what is wrong. And my mind can only absorb so much of that until I want to scream, God, come quickly. And in 2019, I question whether hopelessness for those that aren't staying connected won't move into despair. And you can't afford despair. Now again, just because you get hit with something doesn't mean you receive it. I cast it down all year. I can tell you right now, I never walked through 2018 with a single defeated day mentally. I've never had a quit day since I've been saved. I'm not doing this anymore. But there is a place of casting down where I don't receive that. Not my thought. You follow me? And you have to confess Scripture to overcome the attacks that you thought perhaps you were over. So gross darkness is moving into the earth, and God's calling His people to be dedicated to the glory. Now, I was going to do this at the outset this morning, but I'll bring it into the message now. I know that Lexington Church is fasting in the month of January. New Year's Eve, I found out about it. And I told them, well, I didn't hear the word, so I'm not bound by it. Joking with them. But I want to invite this church to fasting in 2019. In fact, my invitation is, we won't ask you to do it the next week because of short notice, but starting maybe next Sunday, I would like to invite this church to fast, say through February, 2 days a week. Doesn't have to be consecutive. Do you follow me? And please don't count, well, you know, I sleep 8 hours a night, I'm fasting then, 3 nights is the... So, don't play the system. But decide you're going to work towards moving more towards God in 2019. And we'll take babies. Just try to fast 2 days a week. If you can't make it a week, no problem. If you want to make up the days, it's up to you. I think that would be totally voluntary. Just start making effort to fast a couple days a week, whatever day you want to, whatever you want to fast. And it's up to you how much you move in. And then set a schedule. You're going to pray in the Spirit 10 minutes a day consecutively. You find 10 or 15 or whatever you feel, you know, an hour or whatever you feel comfortable with. Don't over challenge yourself or you'll get condemned. But set a goal of moving in towards God in 2019 at a new level. Or maybe pick up some things you've left off in the past. Your confessions. Get your confession cards out. Or make your own card of just key verses you want to speak over your life or over the nation every day. And start setting a course for abiding in the glory. Because as we said before, you can move as far into the kingdom of heaven as you want to go. And now should be a time we recognize not just a want to go, but a necessity to go. Because the results of not moving in could be devastating. Now here's another aspect of it. How much of the Christian church may be in trouble as gross darkness moves in? I believe a lot of it because they've not learned how to move into God. They've learned form and formality, rite and ritual, trying to do good deeds, but they've never learned how to move into His presence, how to live a life of worship and praise and praying in the Spirit and amen, rejoicing, speaking the Word. And these are what move you into the glory. And just going through the motions won't do it. And it could be that as much of Christianity doesn't learn how to move over here, where before they were abiding here and thought everything was fine, all of a sudden they may find themselves here and things aren't fine. And they're going to see you over here and they're going to want to make that cross and your sons and daughters shall come from far. Like Isaiah 60 says, right? And the harvest is drawn to you. See over here? There's not much difference as far as between whether how far you're in darkness versus light, but here, there's a major difference. And I believe the gross darkness and the light will work together to bring forth the harvest. Because over here is power. Over here is glory. Over here is peace. Over here is despair. Over here is hopelessness. Over here is the curse. And God's looking for a people, a bride, a glorious bride that will adorn themselves with the robes of righteousness. Move into relationship with Him. Do you follow me? Remember Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." A people that will move into relationship with Him, fulfill their purpose, He's going to shower with His glory. You know, in the natural in the United States, what is the one time in a girl's life, a woman's life, that she is adorned like never before? The wedding day. It's not uncommon for people to go all out. Amen. Say yes to the dress. Nothing like walking into your house and your daughter's watching, say yes to the dress. You just do it about face and walk right out again. Just where they're talking about, you know, what $10,000 wedding dress do you want to buy? $10,000 for one time? What's that? Have y'all, anybody seen the show? Is $10,000 out of bounds? It's a lot of times higher than that, isn't it? And it's never less than $3,000 for the dress. The pieces I've seen. And they're trying all these wedding dresses. And some of them look hideous. Yeah, that's the one. God, I realize I've seen more of that than I wanted to see. And all these surroundings are made just perfect. The perfect location. You know, hopefully the perfect weather. Everything just right, perfect makeup, perfect hair. Why? Because the bride is being adorned for this special day. How much more is God going to virtually surround His bride with His own glory and blessing? And He's calling us not even to try to abide up here versus here. I'll play it safe. I'll just kind of stay up here. He's calling us to go clear down deep into the glory of God. Anybody want that? Are you getting anything out of this today? Time playing games with God is over. Time to move into the kingdom. Acts chapter 26. I've got about 20 verses here. We've made it to 2. You know what that means? Part 2, right? What's that? Yeah, I got you. We'll see what happens. We'll see what God says. Acts chapter 26. This is Paul preaching to King Agrippa, and he's telling him about his encounter where he got saved. Remember when Paul got saved? Verse 15, it says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." How many know God had a purpose for him? Really a plan. "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes," verse 18 is where I want to go, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me." He said, I want to open their eyes to turn them from darkness to light. Now, there's darkness versus light, right? To give them an inheritance and deliver them from the power of Satan. So if going from darkness to light delivers from the power of Satan, what do you imagine letting your tank get too low and going from light to darkness does? Do you see what I'm trying to get at here? See, if going from darkness to light delivers you from the power of Satan, then my guess is ignoring the opportunity you have and drifting back from light to darkness will give access to the power of Satan to your life. And it'll cause you to take steps that open doors. You say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, you react in the wrong way, all of a sudden doors are opened to the enemy having access to your life. Well, how much more if going from darkness to light delivers from the power of Satan, would going from glory opportunity to gross darkness open you to control by Satan? Do you follow me? In fact, see the word power of Satan there? That word power there is the word exousia. Remember what exousia means? Jurisdictional authority. There's two words, main words for power in the New Testament. Dunamis and exousia, or exousia. And dunamis means the dynamite power of God or whatever source it is, the active power, where exousia is rights to rule, jurisdictional control or authority. And it says when you move from darkness to light, it delivers you from the jurisdictional rights of the devil to rule your life. But to go from glory to gross darkness could open you up to demonic possession, domination, and control of the enemy. I'm going to use a name this morning because you can look it up if you want to. There was a man that used to come to our church and minister that to me was one of the most impressive men of God I'd ever seen. Marcus Bishop. Anybody remember Marcus Bishop? Anybody ever seen the old Kenneth Copeland movie, The Gunslinger? Marcus Bishop played one of the cowboys in The Gunslinger. He was a friend with Kenneth Copeland. Had his own jet, worldwide ministry, everything going wonderful. He'd been to Lexington to minister to us several times. Impressive minister. But he got off track. He got to where he was doing some drinking. He ends up, I think, hitting his wife. Gets divorced, remarried, hits her, or something, goes through a divorce again. Ends up losing everything. And now he's been to jail a few times. Prison. And if you would look at a picture of Marcus Bishop, I mean, he was probably 6'4", I don't know, big, tall guy, handsome guy, perfect hair, looked like a model. Now you look at his picture, he looks like he's been to prison a few times. The devil totally taken over. And you look at his picture, you see the devil in his eyes. And guess what he's doing now? He's pastoring a bar church. They meet at a bar and they drink, you follow me, and whatever along, just totally fallen from grace. Because he had an opportunity where he was functioning at a high level of the presence and power of God and even the glory. And he didn't maintain his, how can I say, proper walk with God. And now he's dwelling in gross darkness. And when God said, I love you too much to give you the glory now, I believe this is part of what he's talking about. You not learn yet to abide in a high enough level of staying connected to me to afford to make the fall that could take place as grub starches comes into the earth. Amen? And so we're learning to take disciplined, what's the word I want? Diligent, continuous, non-compromising steps into God's presence to maintain the ground we take. Oh, go to Deuteronomy very quickly. See if I can find this verse. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Yes. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, God is speaking to Israel about going in to possess the promised land. This is Deuteronomy was written about a month before they went in to possess the promised land, right? And he's telling them instructions, giving them instructions about going in to possess. And in chapter 7, he says this, verse number 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. In other words, I'm not going to give you the promised land all at once. I'm not going to drive them out all at once. You're going to take them a little at a time. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thy hand. God said, I'm not going to give you the promised land all at once. You're going to take it a little at a time. He said, lest the beast come in and destroy the land. In other words, I'm not going to give you what you can't maintain and hold. I can't give you the full release of the glory until you learn to abide in that level that you don't let go of it. Do you follow me? Because the fall might be too great. Up here, you can afford to cycle between the two. Good day, rough day. Good day, rough day. Love God, am I even saved day? You follow me? Down here, you can't afford that cycle. And God's teaching us to abide in this area. See, I got a lot I want to say right now, but I'm out of time. Let me throw this out. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You follow me, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. But he said, if you don't abide, men will gather you up, you'll wither, you'll dry up, and men will gather you up as sticks to be thrown in the fire. We can't afford to not abide right now. Too much on the line. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.